No, that's okay. That's okay. I just looked up and noticed. I should have paid more attention. That's fine.
It's okay. Just be a long introduction.
Well, yeah. I'll sing a song. All right. I'll wait out the minute then. I'll call the July meeting of the Mount Malin Inland Wetland Commission to order. Commissioners Rashto, Abde, Occhilini, and Brush are present. First order of business is to approve the minutes of the June 20th regular meeting. Anybody have comments on the minutes? Motion to approve the minutes.
Make a motion. We approve the minutes of June.
Second.
Commissioner Abde made a motion. Commissioner Occhilini, second it. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carries unanimously. Public hearing none, show cause hearing none. Any remarks from the public not relating to items on the agenda? Any remarks from the public not relating to items on the agenda? Any remarks from the public not relating to items on the agenda? Okay, old business, 24 IBC 5. 121B Kittimar Road, applicant for regulated activities within the URA to loam and seed a lawn, construct a patio, cut trees, and install a retaining wall, clean up trash around the wetlands.
So we had conducted a site walk on Saturday, July 13th at 4 o'clock. There were no meeting minutes taken as we did not have a quorum. And staff has no new comments. Mr. Humphrey is here to answer any additional questions that the commission may have. He also did provide me with some pictures today that I'll just hand to you that he's going to discuss. State your name and address.
Paul Humphrey, 121B Kittimog Road.
Thanks.
The pictures that you're looking at are those from the last king tide that we had. That's the majority of the reason is why we're looking to propose what we're hoping to do. Mm-hmm. To prevent that, you know, from coming any closer to the property.
So I was on, I went on the walk. Anybody have any comments about?
No, I didn't have no comments, no.
It sounds like a lot more than it actually is because it's a rarely small piece of property.
It's
so.
A very small piece of property.
Yeah. So I don't.
So I'll make the motion after giving due consideration to all relevant factors, including those in Section 10 and or Section 6 of the Montville Inland Wetlands Regulations in Section 22A-41 of the Connecticut General Statutes, I move to approve application number 24 IWC-5, applicant Paul Humphrey, owner Paul and Catherine Humphreys, for the regulated activity within the URA in conjunction with the regarding loaming and seeding of the yard, cutting of the trees, planting of the trees, installation of a patio and retaining wall, and overall cleanup of the area in and around the wetlands, per the application and associated documents dated June 4th, 2024, standard reasons for approval and standard conditions of approval apply.
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I abstain.
Motion carries unanimously, and now Commissioner LeClaire has just joined the commission, so she did not vote on that. So. Okay, new business, 24 IWC 6.
Thank you.
It's all set. New business, 24 IBC 7, 339 Chesterfield Road, for regular activities within the wetlands and URA to demo an existing single-family residence and construct a new single-family residence.
So Stacy Radford, zoning wetlands officer, for the record. This application is for regulated activities in the upland review area and in the wetlands in conjunction with the proposed demolition of an existing house and shed, including the proper abandonment of an existing well and septic system, the construction of a water crossing, and the construction of a new single-family residence, including a new well and septic system. The applicant purchased 339 and 311 Chesterfield Road on or about April 11, 2024, and thereafter merged both lots into one for a combined total of 55.01 acres. The site is located in the R80 zoning district with approximately 245 feet of frontage on Chesterfield Road and contains approximately 2.63 acres of delineated wetlands within the proposed project area. The applicant states that the wetlands were flagged by soil scientist Martin Brody on March 14, 2024. The site has a pre-existing non-conforming 675-square-foot house built in 1848, according to the Town of Montville assessor records. The applicant proposes to demolish the existing house as well as to abandon the existing well and septic, all of which is within the 50-foot upland review area. The amount of expected disturbance is approximately 855 square feet. The applicant proposes to demo an existing shed in the area proposed for the construction of a new single family residence and septic system, which will be greater than 50 feet from the wetlands on the property and entirely outside of the upland review area. The installation of a new well will be within the upland review area. The applicant has proposed approximately 4,579 square feet of disturbance within the wetlands and upland review area to widen a paved driveway, construct a water crossing, and cut back vegetation to provide an unobstructed pathway to the proposed new single-family residence. The site also has an existing 50-foot-long paved driveway off of Chesterfield Road, which becomes a rutted driveway that crosses over a 2-foot diameter corrugated metal pipe culvert and a concrete slab through an existing wetland area and then continues for approximately 200 feet to the north side of the wetlands and a pond within the 50-foot upland review area. Beyond this is a clearing that overlooks a pond and has an existing shed. The applicant proposes to replace the 2-foot corrugated metal pipe culvert with an engineered water crossing, which will increase the capacity of water flow through the structure and the structural capacity of the driveway to accommodate the length and weight restrictions of fire apparatus. The emplacement of the culverts for the proposed water crossing will be by hand and stone will be with an excavator. The applicant indicates that earthwork will be performed utilizing typical construction equipment such as excavators, backhoes, loaders, and dozers. It is anticipated that 21 cubic yards of earth will be excavated and 108 cubic yards of fill will be required for a net of 87 cubic yards of fill within the upland review area. The applicant has presented two alternative proposals on page 5 of the development report dated June 20, 2024. However, they are not part of this proposed project presented with this application. The alternative proposals would entail a slightly different alignment of the driveway with the demolition of the existing house and construction of a new single-family residence or the remodeling of the existing house, which may include less disturbance of the wetlands. To reiterate, these alternatives are not part of this application. The applicant has provided a soil characteristic map on page 14 of the development report dated June 20th, 2024, and a wetlands delineation report, which is part of the application. Staff has requested revisions to the proposed plan to include clearing limits, both existing conditions and proposed conditions, or proposed limits of clearing. They should be called out separately. Existing conditions should be shown lighter, and proposed clearing limits should be shown darker. A note pertaining to the existing well, which is within the wetlands, needs to be added to show the same will be properly abandoned. And this has been addressed on the revised plan dated July 13, 2024. We did refer this application out to Uncas Health, who had no comments at this time, Fire Marshal's Office, who had no comments at this time, and the town engineer and soil scientist. There's a letter in your packet from Kyle Halbert and Robert Russo, dated July 11, 2024. These comments were sent to the applicant on July 12th to address, and a response from the applicant was received on July 15th and forwarded to the town engineer and soil scientist for review. No additional comments have been received as the town engineer has been out of the office. Those comments are also part of your packets. And Ryan Thompson is here on behalf of the applicant to answer any questions that the commission may have.
Good evening. Can you hear me? Is this?
Yeah.
My name is Ryan Thompson. I'm an engineer and a land surveyor in Connecticut. I'm working on behalf of the applicant, is Jill Moon-Heron, who's sitting right here. In front of you, I have two documents are the same that you have in front of you as well. You have the existing conditions, which is the entire 55.01 acre parcel that's been merged. It was formerly two. And on this, I want to point out several things. You have three distinct wetland systems on the property, the entire property. The first one, just to orient you, this is Chesterfield Road here, and north is to the right, to your right here. The southernmost system is essentially a large pond, and there's a wetland with phragmites and some other things that are in the report here on just to the west. This is the location of the existing culvert that was mentioned. And right here, very close to the road, is the existing structure. The driveway, it's, of course, on this one it's hard to see, but the one that you have in front of you, you can see the driveway, the asphalt driveway ends at approximately the setback line, and then it continues in ruts over the culvert, and then along the wetland area here up to a flat cleared area with a shed that overlooks the pond. These wetland systems are obviously here for information. There is absolutely no impact to these provided, so I'm not really going to speak any more of those. All the impacts are right in this southwest corner of the total property. All right, so I'm going to stop here for any specific questions about the existing conditions before I move on to the proposed.
So just to restate, there is a driveway that's going out to the little shed through the wetland.
So it crosses where the culvert is.
Yep. Okay.
It's essentially ruts. I use the term driveway loosely. It's mm-hmm. It's a cleared area with ruts and grass that exists now.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to move on then to the proposed condition. All right. So this sheet is that area that I mentioned, the southwest corner. It's obviously a more detailed up-close scale. And so here you can see the existing residential structure is right. It's within, the vast majority of it is with the 50 feet upland review area, as well as the existing driveway. And then what I'm showing is where the existing two-foot culvert is. We'd like to eliminate that and put in a water crossing using six 12-inch diameter culverts, which one of the comments from the engineer was whether it was it had the capacity it does. I responded to that. I responded to all the town engineer and soil report soil scientist comments. One of them was whether or not it has the capacity. I clearly demonstrate mathematically it does. Just
excuse me for capacity, but what year storm? 10 year storm, 5 year storm? Okay.
Yeah, I went all the way up to 100 year storm. Yeah. Right. And quite frankly, it will easily pass the 500 year storm. It's more than adequate. It's better than what exists.
I'm sure. I'm just wondering what your criteria is.
But the main reason for it, just to be clear, is for safety of fire apparatus. And obviously the homeowner as well, but it does meet H25 load rating standards, which is typically considered sufficient for fire apparatus. So that's the point of this. And quite frankly, if there was any way we could avoid doing this work in the wetland in order to achieve what we want, we would do it.
Yep.
But this is obviously the most impactful item on the project. The next most impactful item is the grading of the driveway just to achieve a safe grade. This area right here, from going around this little bend, is all relatively flat, very, very easy grade, but then it goes up at about a 13% grade existing. I want to make it 10% just because that is a much safer navigable grade. Up to the point where we would put the house. So we did do soil testing. We did a total of 4 deep pits and 2 perk pits. And so we have sufficient soils for a primary and a reserve system on the site. And both of those are outside of the upland review area and can be put beneath existing grades. So we do not have to mound the system. We don't have to do any clearing for the primary, which is here. So we don't need to do any grading downhill going towards the wetland. That can all be 100% outside of the upland review area for the septic system proposed. The new residents, of course, will be outside the upland review area. That's a large part of the intent. Obviously, the views of the pond are a big draw for the reason why we want to put this, and also because it makes it conforming. As you can see, almost the entire existing structure, actually not almost, I believe all of the existing structure is currently non-conforming. I'm not sure if, there's a setback line there. So it's entirely non-conforming. None of it is with the current zoning setbacks. So the grading here is the second most impactful part of the project. In order to alleviate that, we do propose putting in a stone diaphragm right here at the lowest point. There's a detail of it. Essentially what happens is runoff will run across the driveway. It'll sink into the stone diaphragm, mix in with the stone, settle into the groundwater table, sediments can fall out. Anything that flows over that will then flow, all the sedimentation will theoretically be cleaned out or fallen out, and cleaner water will flow back into the natural drainage topography with the pond. So that's there specifically for water quality purposes. It offers no real water quantity, attenuation. But as you will see, if you look at the calculations, there really is very little impact or increase in runoff. I think it's like 0.01. I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head. But it's very minor increase in runoff between existing and proposed because we're getting rid of existing impervious area. We're adding a little bit more, but very, very small percentage to the overall site. Of course, 55 acres. But we're really only looking at this dashed line area as being the area that contributes to the drainage. Because on this side, everything flows to the next wetland system. So that none of that drainage is going into this system. And then I did have other comments from the town. They've all been included. I'll highlight a couple of them. The soil, the town engineer requested that in the wetland area for erosion control, we use a wood chip berm. So I've shown that, and I've put the detail of that. And then outside of the wetland specific area in the upland review area, we use hay bales. And so I've showed that as well. That's essentially it. I would be more than happy to answer any questions. Yes.
Does the stone diaphragm need to be cleaned out over time? Does its effectiveness remain true over time?
Yes, it will need to be maintained. Mm-hmm. And that maintenance schedule is typically somewhere around 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. And that can be as simple as just getting a back truck in and vacuuming out the fine particulate matter, mm-hmm. And then putting new stone in as necessary.
Okay.
And I'm sure she can speak on, you know, on her own, but I will say we've had conversations. The applicant knows, my client knows, that there is some maintenance, there is some upkeep, and I don't want to put words in her mouth, but she has informed me she really wants to be a good steward of this property, because that was the main attraction, was the water features. Mm-hmm. Like she chose this site to try to build a home because it was so unique and biodiverse and everything. On that note, there was another comment I should highlight about this being a known beaver activity area. She's aware of that. The comment was that the applicant should be prepared to mitigate and monitor for beaver activity around the wetland crossing. She has indicated to me, and I'm sure she would to you if you asked, that she's willing to do that. Any further questions?
Oh yeah, I guess you want to put like a beaver deceiver in your plan. You know, one of those fence things that keeps them out there.
So I guess what I would say is if the commission wants that, we have no problem doing that.
I'm just thinking that if you have to do it, you can put it in, say, potential or something like that.
Yeah.
If you have to do it, you'd have to come back for another.
My concern is that we don't want to restrict passage of turtles. And so if we can leave the culverts open-ended, any turtles that go through will be able to go through. That's actually also why I'm keeping it at 12-inch diameter, so that they can also be passionate. Anything smaller than they wouldn't be able to pass. Good.
I had a couple questions involving erosion. You've got your stone diaphragm on the downhill side. On the uphill side, you've got some fairly steep grades. They appear to be fairly steep grades on this drawing.
Well, the existing grades are probably in the neighborhood of 2:1 to 3:1.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm proposing is matching that the grade at no steeper than 2:1, and it'll all be it is all wooded now.
Right.
And it'll all be reseeded. In fact, I actually put together a pretty detailed reseeding plan. And so really though, that being the only two areas where that could be potentially problematic are right here and right here. And those areas are roughly 100 by 20 feet areas. They're not hugely significant areas in terms of...
I understand, but if that erodes through, that's all going to go. A, it's going to fill up your stone thing.
Oh, yeah.
And
then
it'll go right. So are you don't feel that then you need to put any kind of a...
No, I don't believe you need any kind of erosion control matting or any kind of like, blankets and anything like that on this. It doesn't fall into the typical parameters of what I would specify that on. It's very, very typical grade. However, I want to be clear, the applicant wants your blessing. And if you believe that that's something that's important, it'll be on there tomorrow night. So if the commission says we'd like to see you put blankets on the slopes, I will specify.
I'm just asking, and if the town engineer is more qualified to address that than we are.
Yeah, they didn't make any comments about it, and it's not something I typically would do.
But the other question I have is more in terms of, one, I just want you to make the statement because we have to consider feasible and prudent alternatives. Mm-hmm. The reason you're putting it there is because.
Okay, so one.
Well, I guess it's flat, right?
Well, where it's going is about the only place you can put it.
Yeah, so that's.
Except for where it is.
Right.
And where it is actually more invasive. It's in the upland review area. And two, because it offers a much more aesthetic environment for the homeowner.
Yeah. So the other question I have, just looking at your plan, and especially thinking about fire trucks and stuff, but are you going to need to excavate more or something to have a place that you can turn a car around? It doesn't look like. Is there enough sufficient area there for a driveway with a turnaround?
So there is sufficient area up here for a typical, you know, passenger vehicle. A fire truck.
I was just kidding about the fire truck.
Well, no.
You're not supposed to kid on the record, but anyway.
It's a very valid question, and it's one that's gone into my entire design. So a fire truck can, with no problem, navigate up to the house driving forward. Turning around, it depends on the skill of the firefighter, but also depends on the size of the truck. I think it would be very tight here, but there is this area over here that's already cleared. That the idea in my mind is if a fire truck needs to come up here, they can back into this point and then come back out going forward. So that existing cleared area would remain as it is. And it's drivable. I drove my truck all over. I drove my truck all the way up here without going into four-wheel drive. So, and that's with the 13% grade already.
But no snow.
Well, no snow. No, you're right. Well, and another point too. There is sufficient area to push snow without having to push it into the wetlands. I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't mean to say something about that, but I didn't think about it until you mentioned that.
Keeping with the winter theme, which feels nice on these hot days, just thinking about the application of, say, salt on the driveway. Is the diaphragm sufficient to capture
that? Is
salt?
Like 90% of the reason for the diaphragm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it will eliminate. I don't know exact number, but it will eliminate the vast majority of salt going into,
mm-hmm.
and it'll do it for more than just the area that it is, because it is at the low point.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that washes down from here is going to collect and then go into that, and so that is exactly why I put it where it is. I put it at the
high end
points for water to flow into it.
Mm-hmm. And proper cleaning of that, then you wouldn't, it'd be contaminated and not great, so you'd want to be, you'd have some proper.
Well, I don't think it qualifies as contaminated material.
I mean, if it's full of salt, it wouldn't just be something that you. You know, when you sweep dirt, you might just sweep it into the woods. You wouldn't want to do that. You'd have
some proper disposal.
So
the salt that accumulates in there, the majority of it's going to dissolve and infiltrate the eventual groundwater.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not going to be granulated. There will be a residue once it's dry. Once the thing is dry, you dig it out and you'll pull out the stones. There will be a coating of salt on the stones. But the vast majority of what goes in there will eventually just permeate back into the soils.
Mm.
So it's not like when you clean it out, you have a bunch of salt gunk. Maybe you do like right after the winter, but by the time a year goes by, that's going to be pretty significantly mitigated. The bigger concern is going to be, quite frankly, as this gentleman here, Mr. Brush, said, is if there's any kind of failure of the slope, that's not going to dissolve away.
Mm-hmm.
That would need to be excavated out, new stone put in place, but I don't believe that that's a real serious threat concern on this site. And I think when you see the site, if you haven't seen it already, I mean, I guess you probably haven't, but I'm assuming you're going to want to schedule a site walk. When you see it, I think you'll see, oh, okay, I get it. It's not like it's, you know, here, it's a typical New England grade, you know, it's pretty, I mean, I can walk up it, I mean, not easily, not anymore.
Any other questions? I'm assuming you want to go on a walk. You want to do it during the week or on the Saturday or Sunday before the meeting, which I think is August. Meeting is going to be August 15th, so it would be the 10th or the 11th would be the weekend.
Are you asking, I'm sorry,
these guys.
Yeah. We're just being shy.
Okay.
Whatever works.
Either of those days are fine for me to be present too. It's just.
Weekends are tough for me, but don't do it based on my schedule.
I can't make it that week. I cannot make it that week. So do you want to do it during the week or do you want to do it on a weekend?
We can do it during the week.
During the week is fine.
Evening's fine.
Mm-hmm. Would they? So if we do that, it's not that I'm retired, I'm really busy.
Can
we go for the 13th, which is 2 days before the meeting?
Okay. If that's a Tuesday, I'm not available.
Okay, how about the 14th, the day before the meeting?
I'm available.
At 6?
Sure.
Okay. All right, then can I get a motion to set a site walk at 339 Chesterfield Road at 6 p.m. on Wednesday the 14th?
If you don't, I would not be able to do 6 p.m. on a Wednesday. That is like the only day Wednesdays
okay,
are like
that's
off
all right.
For me.
Then I'll go say, how about Monday the 12th?
It's probably good. I can't speak to it 100%.
Yeah, it's also all right.
We'll go to...
We'll have some people go.
All right, so can I get a motion to set a site walk 6 o'clock on Monday the 12th of August at 339 Old Colchester?
So move.
I second it.
Any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. All right, so we'll see you 6 o'clock Monday the 12th.
All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, 24 Adams 8, 40 Salt Box Lane, Uncasville, Connecticut. Owner applicant Jeffrey Graves for regular activities within the upper review area to construct a boulder retaining wall. What retaining walls this year?
So, again, Stacy Radford, zoning wetlands officer for the record. This application is for regulated activities within the upland review area in conjunction with the building of a boulder retaining wall. The property is located on 3.29 acres in the R40 zoning district with approximately 201 feet of frontage on Salt Box Lane. The property is currently developed with a single family residence. On or about June 1st, 2024, the applicant contacted our office in order to obtain a final certificate of zoning compliance for the construction of the single family residence and were desperate to get into the house by July 1st, 2024. I advised him that I would require an as-built prepared by a licensed land surveyor in order to conduct my final inspection, as this was a condition of the zoning permit number 221-ZP-173. On or about June 16, 2024, I received the as-built from the applicant's licensed land surveyor and conducted my final inspection. At the time of the inspection, I noticed that there was a boulder retaining wall that had been constructed within the 50-foot upland review area. I spoke with the applicant, and he was unaware that the wall had been constructed in the URA, as he had hired a contractor to build the single-family residence and do all necessary site work while utilizing the required property survey. During the initial permitting process, it was determined that there were wetlands on the property as delineated by Joseph Thoreau, a certified soil scientist, and an inland wetland application was obtained in order to construct a driveway crossing only on November 21st, 2021, and that was application number 221-IWC-15. The applicant is requesting that the boulder retaining wall remain as constructed, as removal of said wall may cause more of a disturbance in the URA. And Jeff Graves is the applicant, and he is here to answer any questions that the commission may have.
We had photos of
Yes.
Yeah, I've got the plan here. I was looking for the, I thought there were photos.
Last week.
Last my,
time.
Huh?
Last time there was.
Yeah. Were there photos? From when the first?
That was, yes, I did have photos. I didn't include them this
yeah.
time.
Okay. So how high is the wall? Oh, you guys say your name and your address.
Jeff Graves, 40 Saltbox Lane.
Thanks.
The wall is, I would say, 4 to 5 feet.
Yeah. So we had a pretty long discussion on this the last time it came before.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anyone want to take a look at this? I guess my question is, do we want to go by after this place, after we go to Chesterfield Road and take a look?
Okay.
I didn't know that we need that many people to really look. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's tough to imagine how you could remove the wall without making it much worse.
Yeah.
No, like it's 50 feet.
Right. It doesn't seem like it's brand new by any means.
No.
So it's just everything's settled in.
Yeah.
I don't really...
Right.
What do you figure? It's been there a couple of years now?
Yeah.
With your history
least,
of everything going
years,
on?
Yeah.
Well, you want a table till next month?
Yeah.
You are okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make a motion to table the application to the August 15, 2024 meeting.
Second.
Any discussion? No favor?
Aye.
Carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Forget the order. Correspondence.
Correspondence.
I can remember the other business with correspondence first.
No questions.
Any other business? No executive session? One more motion.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
Oh.
Got it.
Ooh. You got it.
You it. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Hopefully, we'll see you Monday.
I think I audio.
No, you have it.
It's the little thing, you know?
That's the 12th, right?
Yes. August 12th at 6.
Yeah.